This is the Project Spurs vidcast over the San Antonio Spurs' 110-108 Game 4 loss to the Memphis Grizzlies, where the Grizzlies were able to come back from a 10-point deficit, take a lead up to 10 points, and then the game was, you know, really dramatic as they went into overtime, where Mike Conley and Kawhi Leonard put on a duel against each other. But the Grizzlies did come out prevailing after a late Marc Gasol runner over LaMarcus Aldridge with the 110-108 win. So with this win, the Grizzlies have now even the series at 2-2, and it has become a best of three going forward. San Antonio does have home court in the series. I'm Paul Garcia of ProjectSpurs.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and visit our website as well. The first thing, let's go over some of the key playmakers. If you watch the game, Kawhi Leonard obviously went insane in this game. Puts up a career-high playoff performance of 43 points on 30 shots, so he ends up shooting, again, an efficient night, over 45% from the field. Grabs 8 rebounds, puts 6 steals on the board as well. Some of those steals were key in the fourth quarter, especially. He put some serious runs together. He finishes with 7 of 10 shooting from 3, and then also he plays 44 minutes in the game. So with 2 days off, the 44 minutes are a big number considering the overtime, but with 2 days off, that's a good mark for Kawhi to be able to recharge and get himself focused. So again, one thing you saw with Kawhi was that the Spurs obviously went to him as their go-to option. But with Dwayne Dedman out with injury, which was due to illness, the Spurs used David Lee as their starting center. And you could see right from the gate, the Spurs needed to make Kawhi's job a little bit easier as far as getting him some more better looks or playmaking abilities. And so they ran the spread pick and roll way quicker right from the start. So the way that works was they put Aldridge in the corner, and they use Lee as a screener so that Tony Parker and Kawhi Leonard could both get a lot more space in terms of attacking the basket, in terms of getting better shots off. And if the Grizzlies did try to trap them or double, then they could easily move the ball around, and Lee's a better passer as far as making sure to move the ball without hesitating. So Kawhi finishes with 43 points. I'll talk about him a little bit later as far as some of the other things that he did in that fourth quarter in overtime. Tony Parker, after scoring 0 points and putting up 0 assists in game 3, he ends up bouncing back with 22 points on 19 shots, also a good efficient number for him. He puts 5 assists on the scoreboard as well. So Parker and Kawhi actually combined for 8 of the Spurs' 16 assists, and Parker ends up playing 37 minutes. The Spurs' third playmaker was LaMarcus Aldridge. He had a rough game as far as efficiently shooting-wise. It was actually okay, 11 shots, and he scores 13 points. It was more so when the shots came. He didn't really look too aggressive in terms of scoring the basketball, especially when Kawhi was out or when they were double-teaming or trapping Kawhi. And instead, he was kind of just found one moment. It was in that third quarter when he kind of got a little bit more aggressive. He put up 7 points. You saw him put 2 dunks on the Grizzlies' defense. But, you know, it's almost like Parker and Aldridge kind of switched places, whereas in game 3, it was Parker who really wasn't aggressive. As I had noted in the last vidcast, Parker only went to use like 6 to 8 pick and rolls in the entire game. And then this time, Parker was aggressive right from the go. If it wasn't a pick and roll for Kawhi, it was quickly a pick and roll for Parker. And he was aggressive in attacking Conley and the Grizzlies' defense or finding his teammates. But this time, it was Aldridge where he was kind of like, you know, it's like you forgot he was there sometimes. Puts up 2 points in the first quarter. Because they ran so much spread pick and roll, he was kind of just able to just stay in the corner, didn't really get to do much. Second quarter, he goes scoreless. And this could have been a quarter where they really needed him. When Kawhi was resting, the Grizzlies made their comeback. And this is where you kind of want to run some action for Aldridge. In that second quarter, anytime he got the ball in the post up, the Grizzlies quickly double-teamed him. And while that's true of the defense, that they're kind of getting the ball out of his hands, it also has some part of Aldridge on his responsibility as well. He kind of looks like he hesitates too much, where he catches the ball in the post, he kind of observes and sees what's about to happen instead of just quickly, you know, just attacking the defense and getting aggressive and trying to get to that free throw line or getting a good, efficient shot off. But, you know, and then when the Grizzlies swarm him and get the ball out of his hands, then, he has to move it around and he becomes ineffective in that way at that point because the Spurs aren't making shots. As I said, in the third quarter, you did see him go get a little bit more aggressive with 7 points. But then in the fourth, you know, they stopped going to him a little bit. And then also in overtime, he had a 2-point bucket. And then on the defensive end, he did play some good defense on Gasol in that last shot, but, you know, it still wasn't enough to deter the shot. He didn't really do much on the boards as far as he only got two rebounds. And when we go over the rebounding part, we're going to talk about how he could have made a little bit more of a difference in that department. So Aldridge plays 42 minutes and finishes with 13 points. On the offensive end, let's go ahead and break down the Spurs' numbers. It was a tough shooting night for them. They shoot 42% as a team. The 9 of 30 three-point shots, 30% from the outside. Now, what's key here was that really that number actually looks – it's not a great number. It's actually really bad. But, you know, you take Kawhi out of the equation. So Kawhi makes 7 of 10 of their three-pointers, 70% shooting just for him. The rest of the team shot 2 of 20 from three-point range, 10%. Now, the Spurs aren't going to win playoff games, whether it's against the Grizzlies or anybody, if that's going to be the case with their supporting cast. You know, the point is, if Kawhi gets doubled or they trap him, he needs to move the ball out of his hands and he needs to get to a guy who can make threes. The case, though, was that only the ball just didn't go on the rim for a lot of the Spurs' three-point shooters. Danny Green got some wide-open looks. Monta Ginobili got some wide-open looks. Patty Mills got some wide-open looks, et cetera, et cetera. And these guys just cannot hit the shot. Whether this was just, you know, a game four on the road kind of thing, maybe it was just a bad shooting night for the team, that remains to be seen. Because, you know, on their average for the series, they're still shooting 39.6% from three-point range, which is basically what they did in the season, which made them the most accurate three-point shooting team. And, you know, in game one and two, you did see them hit those threes in San Antonio. So maybe this is just a really bad shooting night for the team as a whole. The Spurs really, they didn't get to the free throw line as much as they normally have been doing in the series, but they did. They were accurate, making 100% of their free throws on 17-17 shooting. As we talked about in the last Spurs vidcast, that was a number that really haunted them, was that they left a lot of points at the free throw line. I think it was like 12 points or something like that in game three. So now, you know, they made sure not to have that discrepancy. Passing, another low assist mark, just 16 assists on 41 field goals. This has to deal with, again, the shooting percentage is really low. The Grizzlies' defense did a great job of rotating, of trying to get the ball out of Kawhi and Aldridge's hands and making somebody else from San Antonio beat them and take some tough shots. So the Spurs only assisted on 39% of their made field goals. And the Spurs took care of the ball with 10 turnovers and for only 11 Memphis points. One key, though, was the Spurs' bench, which got outscored 27-7. You know, Memphis had some guys really step up tonight, which was like guys like James Ennis had a really good game, especially in overtime, hit some clutch free throws, did his best to play defense on Kawhi, but you know that's pretty much impossible for anybody to stop Kawhi. Guy like Andrew Harrison was key. He in the overtime period, it was about to be a Spurs 4-point game. The Spurs get a steal, and it was an Aldridge block. He blocks one of the Grizzlies players. I think it was Zebo. He kicks it out. Tony Parker's running down the court, throws it to Patty Mills. It's a 2-on-1 break, and Andrew Harrison actually comes back and kind of just stops Patty Mills' layup, and that was like a huge swing because then on the other end, the Grizzlies get an and-one from Marc Gasol, and the Spurs could have gone up potentially 4 in overtime, and they actually went down, and they ended up obviously couldn't come back to win that game. Just continuing to talk about the Spurs' bench, they've had a rough series just as a whole. If you look at the Spurs' scoring averages from the regular season and the postseason, the only two guys of their core players that are actually hitting their normal mark or above are Parker and Kawhi. Aldridge, Pau Gasol, Patty Mills, Monta Ginobili, all these guys, Danny Green, they're all scoring below their season average. And like in a game like game three and game four, it really magnifies itself, especially somebody like Monta Ginobili, who the Spurs are counting on at least 7 points from him. He's 0-15 in the series. And while he's still staying aggressive and trying to shoot the shot, if it's there, it's just the ball is not going in the rim for him right now. The reason why I have the Spurs' six-minute increments chart up is because I want to point out two areas where the Spurs' bench really hurt the team. In the first 6 minutes of the second quarter, that's when Kawhi's resting, the Spurs ended up getting outscored 14-5 in those first 6 minutes. And you can see, you know, those are stretches where the Spurs cannot be like the Oklahoma City Thunder, where they can't survive without Russell Westbrook. Kawhi, you know, he is human, even though people call him a robot, Coach Fizdale especially. He needs to be able to get some rest to recharge and that way he has his legs for the fourth quarter and a possible overtime. But that's really tough for him when his teammates can't keep that lead going. Then again, you saw it at the beginning of the fourth quarter, the Spurs got, even though their defense was better, they held the Grizzlies 9 points, they still could not put more points on the board. They only had 7 points. So these little stretches of 5 points, 4 points in 6 minutes, 7 points, these are what are really haunting the Spurs. This has been a problem going all the way back to after the All-Star break. They just started having these lulls where they just can't score for about 6 minutes, and they score less than 10 points, and defenses and other teams' offenses find a way to come back into the game. And now that it's magnified itself on the biggest stage, which is the playoffs, so they have to figure out how to keep these little scoring runs consistent and not falling behind in those stretches of 6 minutes. Shifting over to the Spurs' defense, the Grizzlies had a pretty good shooting night, 46% from the floor. They made 12 of 27 threes on the game, And then they got to the line most, and I think in a playoff game so far for them, they made 22 of 24 free throws. Conley was getting to the line, Marc Gasol, so they made sure to take advantage of that, of the Spurs' defense. On the boards, like I said, Deadman was out tonight, and you saw that because the Grizzlies finally won the rebounding battle. This is the first time in the series they had ever won the rebounding battle against the Spurs. They out-rebounded the Spurs by 14, 51-37. However, since they did shoot a pretty good percentage, it didn't allow for a lot of offensive rebounds, and the Spurs did a pretty good job there holding them to 8 rebounds. Going back to Aldridge, somebody I want to talk about was that, like, you know, this is a situation where Deadman's out, and you expect somebody like Aldridge to at least give you, like, over 10 rebounds, and that still wasn't happening for him. He only had 2 rebounds in the game. As far as transition points, this is kind of where the Spurs' biggest problem was, I would say, as far as defensively. You know, if you look at the score-by-score box score, they actually won 3 out of the 4 quarters. The only quarter they lost was the second quarter, and then, of course, in overtime by 2 points. But this is a huge stat here, giving up 26 points in transition. That's just, you know, that's just the defense not getting back. That's just not, you know, those are some of the basic core fundamentals of their team philosophy. Pop, you know, doesn't want the other team scoring. He always has guys going back. And this was a situation where this is definitely something I think Pop's going to point out in the film room is these situations where the Grizzlies got these points from, because those are easy points when you're scoring in transition. As for the Grizzlies' 3 playmakers, Marc Gasol, you know, he had a quiet night to 16, what you would call a quiet night. He had 16 points and 12 rebounds. He only took 12 shots. And while he wasn't as demonstrative or aggressive trying to score the ball, even with Deadman out, his biggest play came in the fourth quarter in overtime, where he scored 2 points in overtime. I mean, in the fourth quarter. And then, of course, he hit the game winner with that runner over Aldridge, even though Aldridge did contest it. So Gasol gives them 16 points and 12 rebounds. Mike Conley was, just like I said with Kawhi, he put on a performance with 35 points on just 23 shots. Whether it was Danny Green, whether it was Tony Parker, Patty Mills, Conley was able to get wherever he wanted against the Spurs' defense. He did a great job of using pick and rolls to get more favorable matchups, whether that was against Aldridge, Pau Gasol, and just kind of exploited the Spurs' defense. And it's hard for them to contain him. And he really, really, you know, he showed why he's worth that money that for that contract that he signed. So he did show up in the fourth quarter. He put up 11 points. And then in overtime, he was also spectacular for Memphis, putting up, I think, 6 points there in that overtime. So he was incredible as well. And he will continue to be in the series for Memphis. Zach Randolph cooled off a little bit. Even though last time he gave them 21 points, he cooled off with 12 points on 12 shots, kind of forced a little bit. Even though he had David Lee guarding him the majority of the night, he didn't really get a rhythm. David Lee did a good job of kind of just keeping his ground and not letting him get to his sweet spots. Even Davis Bertans got some minutes, and he kind of played some pretty solid denied defense on Zebo so that the Grizzlies couldn't find him in the post. But Zebo and Gasol, something to point out was that they did still contribute. Even if they didn't score over 20 points, they still gave the Grizzlies, you know, 12 rebounds for Mark and 11 rebounds for Zach. Going forward, Tuesday now will be game 5, and then game 6 will be on Thursday. So this has become a best of three series. There's not an official time yet. I think that kind of depends on what happens with Cleveland and Indiana on Sunday as for when that game will tip off game 5. I think if Cleveland sweeps, the Spurs will get an earlier tip off. If they do not sweep, then I think maybe they get their normal like 8:30 p.m. Texas time tip off. So some adjustments to look for game 5 are maybe Bertans gets more minutes now. You know, he showed he can survive on the floor. He really did a good job of – the Spurs didn't hit their offensive lows as much with Bertans in there. You know, they were able to space the floor. He brings Jermichael Green out. He brings Zach Randolph out of the paint. So, and then on defense, he wasn't really a huge liability where he was when he was playing one-on-one on Zeebo, but he didn't really provide a lot of rim protection. It's unknown yet how long Dwayne Dedmon's going to be out, if he's going to come back in game 5 or not, but you can expect him to be back there if it's not a serious illness that he's playing with. And, you know, just as a takeaway, I mean, the Grizzlies have, if you look at from the second half of game 2 to now, the Grizzlies have actually outscored the Spurs 260 to 242. This is just, you know, by both the eye test and with the numbers, they both support. The Grizzlies have looked like the better team. They always look like they have the lead. It looks like San Antonio is trying to find something to kind of counter them or trying to catch up. And though they got those big nights from Parker and Kawhi, the Spurs' big question continues to remain, who is the third guy? You know, or are there other two guys, you know, going to step up to help Kawhi? Kawhi's always going to give them those, you know, those 30, 20 plus points. but it's who's going to show up. It's going to be Aldridge one night. It's going to be Parker. You know, that's the question. And like we talked about, their bench just has not been there. You know, you can't rely on any of their guys from the regular season to show up right now to give them a performance that they're going to need outside of Kawhi. So that'll be something to see. I would like to see if Aldridge can just be more aggressive from the tip, whether that's the Spurs feeding him earlier instead of running so many pick and rolls, trying to get him some post-ups in isolation where he can face up and try to get to the free throw line. Maybe that gets him more engaged in getting finding a rhythm early rather than just waiting to the third quarter. So they're going to have to figure something out as far as, like, what are they going to do to consistently score on these Grizzlies. Their defense now is finally finding some issues as well. The Memphis should not be scoring over 100 points, and they are. You know, with the players they have on their roster, they shouldn't be scoring over 100 points in a game, and they're finding a way to in these last two games. And sure enough, the Spurs have lost. So there's some issues for San Antonio going forward, but you know they still do have the home court in their favor. So you know, they take care of Game 5, then Game 6 will be in Memphis, or if there's a possible Game 7 the following Saturday, that's also going to be in San Antonio. So we'll see where the series goes from here. For ProjectSpurs.com, I am Paul Garcia.